next case of the morning is the number 05-1602, Marvin Traore against the City of South Point. Mr. Reese.
The police of court, may I have the privilege of introducing my grandson, Todd Reese, to the court. He and his brother just joined our firm a short time ago. Thank you. William Pitt, in his famous speech to the Parliament, said that a man's house is his castle. That is now questionable. In the recent decision by the Supreme Court in the case of Kilo versus City of London, in a 5-4 decision, they ruled in that case that economic development was a basis for
New London economy.
New London, right.
Yes, sir.
And Justice Thomas, in his rather sharp, constructive, and artistic dissent, noted that William Blackstone, back in the days of our founding, wrote that the law of the land postpones even public necessity to the sacred and inviolable rights of private property. This case does not involve the complicated set of facts that have surfaced the pronouncements of what abstention is and isn't. It's a simple case. It's one that a little guy has been fighting the government since 1998. I was younger in those days. As a matter of fact, we've created a lot of legal rights today that when I started practicing were a criminal offense. So, but one of the inviolable things has always been the right of a man's property. And in this case, it was very simple. We alleged in the state case that there was a taking, whether temporary or permanent, and we lost. And the judge ruled against us. But before any order is entered, the arbitrary action on the part of the city council goes in and they tear the guy's house down. It's that simple. And it is a separate cause of action. We could have, I presume, gone back into the state court and said, well, we're going to file an amended complaint and allege that. We decided not to do that. And we were denied a jury trial in the state court.
Wasn't that because it was filed late?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't that because the name was filed late?
Let's be practical, Your Honor. It was money. This case
was a filed late.
I'm sorry?
Was a demand for jury trial filed late?
I thought that it was filed properly, and I thought there should be an exception because of the nature of the remand. The court disagreed with me, but yes, sir, there was no jury demand filed when the case was filed, and if you want a practical explanation, it was because I thought that the case could be tried. The facts were simple. It could be tried on a stipulation of facts and without a jury and save some money. As it turns out, hindsight is 20/20, but the fact that we were denied a jury has nothing to do
with... Well, that was a distinction you made between federal and state court, that in federal court you wouldn't be able to...
You've got a different cause of action here in federal court.
But the jury matter is the same now in both whether it's federal or state, right?
Well, yes, sir, but if I understand the court's a position on that, if you've got a new cause of action and we had filed an amended complaint, I frankly don't know what the state court would have done with bringing this to jury. I think, frankly, with the temperament in the court, I probably would have been stuck with no jury. So I elected to come over and file a cause of action in the federal court because I think
isn't that same issue before the state court, that is,
constitutional taking, isn't it?
Well, I think there's a difference, Judge, between a taking and destruction. I mean, that's not a similarity.
Isn't that the basis of your claim in the state court as well as the federal court?
No.
This is a taking?
No, a taking and a destruction without an appropriate court order and the right to maintain your property is a separate issue. You can get clouded in this issue because the facts that built this case are basically the same except when you get to the destruction of the property. And that's a different issue. And it is a different count. It would have required filing an amended complaint alleging that there had been a destruction of the property. And we elected not to do that. We went to the federal court and filed a complaint, and I think that it's appropriate. It's a separate cause of action.
Judge Reinhardt raised the issue. You didn't come to federal court until you were able to get another judge in state court.
I think that's a rabbit trail. The environment of the state court admittedly was not to my liking, okay? But that's not a reason to restrict me from selecting a forum. If I get a right to go into the federal court, I get a right to go into the federal court. And it had nothing to do with whether I could get a new judge in the state court or not. As a matter of fact, you know, I say this very carefully, decisions are not made on issues of this kind in a corner. They project a moral direction that we're going as a nation. And in this time, in my judgment, our nation is in great moral trouble. And because we haven't adhered to the mandate and the fidelity of the Constitution, we've arbitrated away this concept of absolute rights. This is an absolute right that a man has to his property.
Can you explain to me then the difference between the destruction and the taking? Aren't there other instances where destruction of property is considered a taking?
I think there are.
How is this?
This was a separate and distinct act without a court order of them arbitrarily going in and taking this little guy's house and throwing it away. And I think that's wrong. And I think that's a cause of action that has the ability to be premised and founded in the federal court. In addition, because it is a separate cause of action, under the Constitution, he's entitled to a jury. And he's not going to get one. Frankly, it makes a more convoluted case granting abstention than if this case is permitted to proceed in the state court on the issues of the taking and permitted this case to proceed in the federal court on the destruction of property. And as they said in the Morton case, even though there's the issue of avoiding duplicate litigation, you can't just deny abstention. You can't just grant abstention because there happens to be some duplicative facts. And I'm arguing as vehemently as I can for this little guy that's been battling this government that they had no right to go in with a bulldozer before they had any court order or anything and just destroy this guy's property. That's wrong. And it's morally wrong. And I think I got a right in the federal court to have that case tried. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Reese.
I'll reserve the time I got.
We'll hear now from Mr. Bell.
Good morning. The police, the court, counsel. I'm here, Steve Bell, on behalf of the city of South Beloit. The thing I'd like to start with here is just to clarify the state of the state court record at the moment. To begin, Mr. Reese makes much of the fact that there was no written order allowing the destruction of Mr. Tyrer's house. It was not his home. It was a house under construction. In fact, the trial court had granted a counterclaim for destruction and entered an order that Mr. Reese was to prepare a document, if he wished, which outlined the court's order. That document was never prepared and filed. But the trial court did grant the city's counterclaim for destruction under the Illinois Municipal Code. The current state of the state court pleadings is that we have two counts. The first count is actually count two. Count one has been moved. Count two is the taking case, that the failure to grant variance, the failure to issue work permits and so forth, that they in fact were a regulatory taking. That's what's pled. That's what it's alleged. The second count, which I was added after the district court granted the order staying proceedings or granted the motion to abstain, the second, which is actually count three, is a case that alleges that the destruction of the home by the city council members was a taking without due process. That case was set for bench trial January 23rd and 24th of this month. That's how far along the state court case is. That's the status of the pleadings. I will represent the court that we both sides received notice from the state court that that trial date is going to be postponed and rescheduled due to a problem with the trial court judge's schedule. The federal district court granted the motion to abstain under the Colorado River Doctrine properly and did not abuse its discretion. It gave this court the record it needs to review its decision, that it properly considered all of the Colorado River factors, starting with the concept of there being two parallel actions.
The purpose of the diversity jurisdiction, as I understand, is to allow people to do something to negate the prejudice that might be felt against foreigners being sued in the local court. Here you've got a citizen of Wisconsin suing a Illinois municipality. And the purpose of the jury, of the diversity jurisdiction, I think, is so that he doesn't have to go into a state court. But this decision has deprived him of that constitutional prerogative, presumably. What do you say about that?
Well, the complaint on its face doesn't raise the issue of diversity jurisdiction. On its face, it alleges that it's brought pursuant to 42 U.S.C. section 1983 and invokes substantive rights under the 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendments.
That's a good answer, man.
In fact, the property Mr. Tyrer may reside in Wisconsin, but the property at issue is in the city of South Beloit, Illinois, which is why South Beloit, Illinois is a defendant.
Oh, I know that, but he's a citizen of Wisconsin, right?
Well, he sure is. but I don't see how diversity jurisdiction is invoked. It appears to me to be a federal question claim. The complaint in federal court, as a matter of fact, I don't dispute, and I would concede that what's pending in state court is a federal claim that arises under the constitutional laws of the United States. So I think diversity is at best a red herring in this case. Getting back to the issue of the parallel proceedings, if Mr. Reese and Mr. Tyrer, his client, had chosen, for example, to, under the Illinois Administrative Code, file a petition for review of the South Beloit Zoning Review Board in state court, and then file a federal claim for destruction of his property in federal court, I'd concede that they're two different things. But that isn't what happened. I was before this court about a month ago on one of these cases where the argument was he pled himself out of federal court. I think that's what happened here. He didn't plead himself out of court because what we have is an order to stay, not an order dismissing. But what he's done is he's pled that the failure to grant variance, the issuance of stop working permits in state court, created a regulatory taking which culminated in a physical taking without due process when the house was destroyed. He's pled exactly the same thing. You know, parallel, they don't have to be identical, but they are. The pleadings in these two matters are virtually identical. And when the district court went down the list of the 10 factors outlaid in the Colorado River case, they all were either neutral or went in favor of abstention. The most important, according to this court, is this idea of avoiding piecemeal and duplicative litigation. And clearly, where these pleadings are identical, that is what the district court has accomplished with its order, and I don't believe abused its discretion and should be affirmed. Unless there are any further questions from the panel, I'll sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Pirro.
Thank you.
Mr. Reese, you have 1 minute left.
The fact that he's a Wisconsin resident and the fact that he went into federal court, I'm glad you raised that point, because your honors have been around the block long enough to know that in this situation there were politics involved, and I'm not here to discuss that, but there was a good cogent reason to be in the federal court, having been a Wisconsin resident. The second thing is the state constitution of Illinois provides that there can't be a taking without compensation, so there was a valid reason at the outset, and still is, on the taking issue. But I'm hammering the fact that, and he uses a little rhetorical sleight of hand when he says that there was an order entered. There was no order entered, and the court had delayed the entry of an order to give us time to provide a plan of destruction. Well, Chucks, we weren't providing any plan for destruction. That's what we're fighting about. And so before the time that the order was entered and the house gets destroyed, now, I'm telling you, that raises my ire. I am abhorred by government taking aggressive responsibility against a man's rights. And I fight against that. Thanks.
Thanks to both Mr. Reese and Mr. Bailo for their arguments. The case is taken under advisement.